Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, getting a chance to visit with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. We're recording this interview on Friday the 20th, the IHSA board meeting on November the 19th, Thursday. And basically, it's a situation where the association basically is having to, you know, take a wait and see stance in terms of the pandemic, in the evolution of the pandemic, and what is going to happen over the, I guess, next couple of weeks. It doesn't seem like a long time between now and then, but the way people are in terms of waiting for some type of information, you know, this continues to be agony for, I think, all parties involved.
Yeah, it does, and us included, and our board. You know, it just all decisions are challenging these days with trying to navigate the pandemic, the recent announcement with statewide moving back to Tier 3 obviously created this dilemma for us, and our board determined that, you know, with the situation with the pandemic, that it makes the most sense to ask our schools to pause now in hopes that obviously things would turn around and we'd see some progress, and it would hopefully allow us in future seasons, hopefully yet a winter season for basketball and the others to come, to have opportunities for kids. So yeah, it's a challenging time, and the board obviously in a long discussion navigated it very carefully and said, you know what, we just need to at this point take a wait and see and let the state tell us when it makes sense for us to go forward.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that, and this is me speaking, that I've learned in the process, you know, as we follow the story, you know, initially people said, well, we all need to stand up to the governor or the state or IDPH or whoever and say, we just need to play. All right, so let's just play interscholastic athletics, regardless of what those people are saying that are involved in state government. But it was interesting, you know, where the IHSA, you know, last month said, we feel that, you know, we can safely conduct a high school basketball season with mitigations in place, but we understand it's going to have to be a local school decision. And the majority of local schools just weren't ready to make that decision. So long story short here is, in order for high school sports to be played in Illinois, the state has to sign off. By the state, I mean IDPH and the governor. That's the only way we're going to play sports. In terms of how that's how I see it. Am I seeing that right?
Yeah, I think that's a correct interpretation. Everything you said there is accurate. We surveyed our schools after, you know, they had some time to make some local decisions, and the vast majority of our membership, kind of just as you indicated, said, you know, we need to follow the governor's guidance for a number of reasons. I'm sure each school district is their own independent decision maker, and I'm sure they have their own thoughts and reasons why. That leads us to where we're at now with our board accepting that position and now saying, you know, when the state government, IDPH and the governor's office says we're good to go, then that's the time that we'll turn on the lights and let our schools go forward.
And I know, I think, you know, and we've covered ad nauseum leading up to the meeting Thursday the 19th, you know, the governor was extended an invitation to participate, and other state agencies, including IDPH, they were extended invitations to participate. And I think the governor's terminology was, you know, we're not going to attend, but we'll make available or we've made available, whatever, those resources. I can't remember the exact wording. But as far as attending the meeting, you know, they chose not to do so. And the only thing that I was disappointed in regards to that, because I like to talk about definitions and meaning. And, you know, the governor, because I'm trying to get a gauge on when, you know, the governor says, well, basketball should be played in the spring. And, okay, then I hear the Chicago Public League say, okay, we'll play in the spring. But nobody will quantify what spring means. Is it by the IHSA modified calendar spring, or is he just talking about spring that is April and May and June or whatever? Have you been able to interpret what the definition of spring is as it relates to the governor in terms of him saying that's when basketball should be played, like dates on a calendar?
No, we have not. And, you know, that's a question that we have, and that was obviously a question we wanted to have answered if we could, you know, get together in a meeting, along with a number of other questions, of course, but that was a critical one, having heard him, Governor Pritzker, make that statement. That I, you know, we have a same question. Exactly what does that mean, and how do we know that there'll be whenever spring is, how do we know that we'll have a metric that would permit us to do so? So a number of those questions remain, unfortunately. But that, you know, we recognize that in this time, obviously with the announcement on Tuesday, that there are incredible challenges now to try to get this plateaued and to now start trending back with the positive cases. So we remain hopeful, and at this point privately we're going to continue to reach out to both IDPH and the governor's office to say, hey, tell us when you're available, and, you know, our staff and board will make ourselves available on their timeline. And in a first reaction to that, it sounds like that's going to be possible, though we have no date of when that's going to happen, but they're receptive of that idea at this point. So we hope that there's better future communication that will lead us to some answers, much like the one we continue to have.
Because as it relates to the IHSA, for those listeners, when they're saying, well, what's Taylor mean by the IHSA modified calendar? Well, that was rolled out in late July, reacting to the pandemic. The spring calendar, per the IHSA, February 15th through May 1st, and then I think the summer calendar, May 3rd to June 26th, because I hear some of the Chicago contingent say about basketball, well, I think he's talking about the time period, he would be talking about the time period basically kind of leading up to AAU summer. So when he says spring, the governor, I don't think he's meaning February 15th through May 1st. But I guess you don't know the definite answer to that.
No, I don't. That remains unknown. And in respect to when he was asked the question, you know, it was in the middle of a press conference. So, you know, I think he anticipated that, and hopes, I hope he does, that there'll be a timeline for when we can play basketball. So I don't know that he had provided a lot of thought to that, indicating a springtime of when it could be played. We just remain with, really don't know where that exactly fits within the calendar at this point.
And that's the, you know, getting back to the calendar then, trying to figure something out. Are there any, when we talked to you last spring, you know, trying to lead up, is there going to be a spring season? And, you know, basically all options are on the table. You know, as it relates to the calendar now, moving forward and trying to get all these sports in, are there any examples that are in play right now that you can talk about publicly in terms of, I mean, is this calendar potentially going to have to be modified again? Or if you can play basketball in the winter, it's just going to be a very short season?
Really good question, and our board has deliberated on that particular thought, and there are a variety of options that remain open to us. I think in a general sense, when we finally get the indication that we'll have some opportunities, in particular for the medium and higher risk sports to be played, that's a time that I think the board will then revisit the calendar that they created in late July and determine what makes the most sense in terms of potential overlap of seasons, not entirely overlapping, but more overlap than, you know, they created initially, and probably looking to try to balance as best they can the amount of the time in weeks of the seasons that still remain. So obviously the basketball season being one of them, along with other possible winter sports, though we think those will get started likely quicker, those lower risk sports than basketball. So yeah, a lot of that stuff remains on the table, but without knowing when and if we can reconvene and start competing in medium and high risk sports, obviously the board is challenged with trying to, and us as a staff, of course, with trying to determine what makes sense for a future calendar. So a lot of things remain on the table relative to that, though I think the board does agree that those upcoming sports that are part of future seasons that are low risk, they obviously have a very good opportunity of having some sort of season and maybe a little longer than other seasons if the opportunity for medium and high risk sports is pushed even farther.
Yeah, and then I guess getting back to the definition of spring as it relates to basketball, are you, I mean, can basketball occur during football season, or can it occur, and I'm talking about football season with the modified calendar, which is the basically spring, or would basketball likely be an option for the summer competing against baseball, and then you have wrestling that would be in the summer as well? So that's the question that I get a lot from people asking me. They say, well, okay, if basketball can't be played in the winter, where are you going to put it at? Is it going to have to compete against track and baseball, or is it going to have to compete against the football season? You can understand we get that question a lot in small rural school districts who only have so many kids to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, we're getting the same question, and you know the answer is, and it, Jim, you know, I'm from a small town and played three sports. I get that there's no good place for basketball to overlap any of those potential seasons because of the challenges and really concern for student-athlete safety if they're going to try to play football and basketball or soccer and basketball or baseball and basketball. The challenges that creates, while I know, having been a former athlete, you know, all of us, I think, can relate to, especially having been delayed and without opportunities, that athletes will do whatever they can to play their sports if they're a multiple sport athlete when the opportunities become available to them. But obviously our sports medicine advisory committee is cautious to that. And I really, it's awful to think that students would have to make a choice. And that's just an awful thought to have, though. And so it varies, of course, thinking statewide and who I have to talk to or get to talk to from multiple size schools and multiple locations and the geography and just the landscape of what we deal with, that, you know, there's some that say, yeah, we can do it in the summer because they're bigger schools, thousands of students, and you know, there's more specialization there. But the majority of our membership falls in the position of basketball overlapping any of the future seasons, the spring or the summer, the ones you reference, would be incredibly challenging for our schools.
Yeah, it is such, you know, we start thinking about those type of issues, it's such a tough making the final decision on that. But you know, leading up to kind of November, you know, when initially the IHSA said, well, let's have a basketball season starting November, we'll let the local schools decide if they want to do so. And then, you know, the governor said, well, no, let's, basketball should move to the spring. A lot of schools said, okay, we'll play in the spring. So as we talk now, that, you know, we were back then we were talking about, well, there potentially could be two basketball seasons in Illinois. But that's not a possibility, right? There's only going to be, if there's basketball, it can only be one basketball season. There can't be two different basketball seasons, right?
Yeah, where we're at now, and you know, with this most recent decision and us being in a pause or a delay, and getting the feedback from the survey that we did with the number of schools that would go forward right now, and the limited number of them, I think we're to the point that we really are looking at just probably a single season because of the, you know, those schools that said they would go forward now were going to be challenged to find opponents that could make out a regular season schedule and without significant travel to locate and go play those opponents as we kind of reviewed those that had indicated they could. So all of that creates obviously challenges. So I think we're to the point where, yeah, we'll have for our membership a single basketball season again, waiting for confirmation that we have permission for from IDPH and the governor's office to do it.
All right. You know, I was talking to, I appreciate the time from Craig Anderson, IHSA executive director, and I was talking to, we talk to kids every week on our high school sports spotlight program here locally, and I was interviewing a kid this week, a girls basketball player, a senior, and I said to her, you know, you got to look at something where what can I take out positive out of this? And I said, you know, the kids of 2020, in my opinion, understand process now a little bit better, right? I mean, dealing with their interscholastic athletic, and that's kind of the good thing that has come out of this. And, you know, the other thing is that, you know, you don't take things for granted anymore. I think that is, it's taken us 8 months, you know, we're not going to take it for granted anymore. We get that. Can we move on? But I think the kids now understand a little bit more about process, where, hey, I didn't, you know, not a local school board got to sign off on this. We learned a lot more about Illinois Department of Public Health. We've learned a lot more about the governor in Illinois. We've learned a lot more about the IHSA and how the equation during a pandemic is pretty delicate. So I think the kids, from a process standpoint, they do have a greater understanding, which I think is good.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's been forced on them, unfortunately. And in a general sense, I think students have adapted. You know, of course, we hear about the awful incidences of students that haven't been able to navigate the changes that have been pressed upon them, but. For sure, that, you know, the process piece, I think, is something that they'll be able to take forward from this. But it still hurts to know that those experience and the lifelong relationships that should be developing now because of the camaraderie of teammates and working with a coach and enjoying all the fruits of what a season creates just aren't available, and that it's crushing to me to serve in this position and to know that kids aren't having that chance right now.
And then I just a couple more points I want to make here. In you know, talking to you with this story, ever evolving story since March. You know, we all want kids back playing, you know, participating in athletics or activities or whatever thing they're involved in as it relates to the education process. So Craig Anderson wants kids to play. Jim Taylor wants kids to play. We're holding out hope. No question about that. But, you know, being honest here, and I look at where we're at, you know, with the four sports I look at, you know, boys and girls basketball, high school football, and then high school wrestling are all declared high-risk sports. And from what I've read and what I've heard and what I've researched, the Illinois Department of Public Health, they're not budging off that, that those sports are not going to be reclassified as medium risk. So as I look at the mitigations, right, the only the conclusion I come to when I look at the mitigations, the only way, this is me speaking, Jim Taylor, that those sports can be played is through a vaccine. The vaccine has to be out there. So I'm just being honest, and I know you said when I talked to you the very first time last March about this pandemic, how worried are you? And you said, well, I'm very worried. And that was true. So
yeah.
This is me speaking. Without a vaccine, Craig Anderson, and you know we talk about the process and the progress with Pfizer this week and Moderna, but in terms of the distribution of that and how it gets to Illinois and how we get vaccinated, I'm just really worried. Without that vaccine being rolled out, I'm worried about I'm just worried about those high-risk sports being able to play this school year. That's just me speaking. Now, I'm hoping they can play. I want them to play. I'm not saying they won't play, but I'm just saying with that high-risk category and a vaccine not readily available right now, I really worry about those sports being played.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I couldn't agree with you more. You summarized that very well, that there's no question that the higher risk sports are going to be the last sports that are going to be approved to return to competition here. It looks like, and I think there's evidence of how we've progressed through this over the last 8 months to indicate exactly what you're saying, that it appears that we'll have to get all the way to a vaccine, and it's going to have to be probably pretty widespread here, and the numbers to drop significantly and for us to get the approval that we need to go forward with the high-risk sports.
And then the other thing, too, that I look at, I read somewhere this week or heard on one of the statewide reports, 68% of the student population in Illinois is remote learning. And I think we all agree that kids need to, you know, one of the big steps is kids are going to need to be in the classroom on a regular basis for us also to think seriously about high school sports being all high school sports, you know, being able to return and play. 68% remote learning is a big number, and that I look at that as being an issue too.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, that, and you're right. And right now, we're hearing more than ever that those that have been in person and those that have or been in a hybrid, that the transition kind of right at this time is the time at which we're getting many schools to, you know, backtrack back into a full remote learning. And that's not a good trend, but obviously we remain hopeful that this latest mitigation, if folks will follow through with the guidance that we're being offered, that will result in future opportunities for our kids. The vaccine, as you mentioned, has got to be a part of it, but we need kids back in school, and we need them safe, of course, to make some progress to getting them back in school and then hopefully back to the competitive fields and courts.
Yeah, and that's a great way to end our conversation. You mentioned mitigation, and we can argue all we want about different things. And I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about collectively our listening audience. And I tell people in my travels, I see mitigations mainly followed at two locations on a regular basis. When I drop my youngest kid off to school here at Mercer County, those kids are following mitigations. I see them, the young kids even. All right, I go to public places, government places, Mercer County Courthouse. They're following mitigations. And then if you go to healthcare facilities, I should say three, mitigations are being followed there. But everywhere else I go, it's a serious crapshoot about people following mitigations. Now, you, if you're listening, you can argue about them all you want. But, you know, Craig Anderson and myself, what we've been talking about, if the mitigations aren't followed and the numbers aren't reversed in this state, you've heard the leaders in state government say they're worrying about the pandemic. They're not worrying about high school sports right now. So if you're not interested in following mitigations and you're not interested in reversing the positivity rates in those numbers, then don't complain about the status of high school sports, because they want the metrics. And by they, it's IDPH and the governor who want to reverse those numbers. And if you're not interested in doing that, Greg Anderson, it doesn't... The truth is, we're not going to play high school sports because IDPH and governor have to sign off on that.
Yep, you're exactly right. Our schools have kind of established that position that's going to be necessary, and so all your points are exactly accurate about what, as Illinoisans, our responsibility is if we want to do the things to meet the requirements that are and whatever metrics those are, but there's got to be a trend in a different direction now, very soon, for us to be in a position for yet this school term to be able to move forward with, especially the medium and higher risk sports.
All right.
So the mitigation is the answer. You're right.
All right. And just the last point, and I know you talked about this a little bit. I saw in one of the newspaper accounts maybe a month ago, I think the PR Journal Star did the story. You know, in right now, without a winter sports season, there's not going to be revenue coming in, gate receipts, things of that nature. You know, just in terms of the financial stability of the IHSA, should we be concerned about that right now?
Oh, we definitely should. Yeah, I am. As the leader here, I definitely am, and it's on my mind constantly, and I'm concerned, and we have fantastic people here at the association that serve our membership in fantastic ways, but you know, we have to have ways to pay them, and the finances have to come through, and without sport and activity and the revenue from gate receipts in our state series competitions, you know, we have few other ways. That's the 70% of our revenue annually is based upon that, and without it, it really crushes the financial situation for our association. So we're moving into a third season where we could possibly see no revenue from gate receipts coming from the spring, from the fall, because the fall sports that we conducted were not our revenue generating sports. It's troubling, and it's on my mind constantly.
So if there's not a winter sports season, let's hope there is. But I mean, are there any drastic decisions that are going to have to be made if there is no winter sports season?
I'm afraid there is. Yeah, we can't continue to go on like we are. We want to continue to provide the services to our membership for certain. But you know, those are all board level decisions. But yeah, I think as I work closely with the board in my role here, those conversations continue, and I'm afraid there could be some drastic actions to take, because we, you know, you just can't continue to pay staff and, you know, the other things that we're responsible for as an association when there's no revenue to do it.
All right. Well, I just, you know, again, follow the mitigations, people. You know, if you're listening today, you hear Craig Anderson, and if you deal with all the people down at that IHSA office like I do, I mean, I just can't imagine being in that spot. You know, and I know, you know, local school boards and school administrators too, because it's such a tough decision. And I tell everybody, it's so easy from the outside looking in, but from the inside looking out, it's such a tough decision. So I'm, you know, again, we can argue all we want, but I'll just end it. Follow the mitigations, so we can try to reverse the numbers here in Illinois, and let's all hope that vaccine can be rolled out with Moderna or Pfizer, and they're having success with that, and they can start to distribute that in Illinois sometime in the new year, and hopefully we can get back to normal and see kids out participating. So, Craig Anderson, appreciate your time and your transparency as always. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
And I'm Jim Taylor on WRMJ.